This is Radioactive, an environmental and social justice news journal for April 25th, 2019. This is Meredith DeFrancesco. Today we bring you updates on the status of waste reform and water extraction bills in the Maine State Legislature. Yesterday, the Environment and Natural Resources Committee made decisions on five water bills. Tomorrow, they will hold their work session on solid waste reform. We speak again with Nikki Sakara with Community Water Justice and solid waste activist Hillary Lister. Yesterday, the Maine Legislature's Environment and Natural Resources Committee held their work session on five bills that could potentially affect the extraction of Maine's groundwater. The committee voted unanimously to vote ought to pass for LD 1121, an act to acknowledge potable water as a necessity, sponsored by Senator Chinchet. They voted unanimously ought not to pass for three bills, LD 197, an act to convene a working group to authorize a public trust for Maine's groundwater, LD 1358, an act to further the public interest in all Maine waters, and LD 413, an act to ensure the rights of citizens to groundwater in the state. LD 1474, an act to ensure water equity and accountability for the people of the state, has been referred now to the legislature's Committee on Energy, Utilities, and Technology. We have with us again here today Nikki Sakara with Community Water Justice. She's the co-founder of Community Water Justice and lives in Freiburg, a community where Poland Springs, Nestle Waters North America, currently extracts groundwater. Yesterday was the work session for the five water bills that could potentially impact industrial water extraction in Maine. We would love to get your update on the results of this work session and what that means in particular for a bill that you've been working closely on, 1474, an act to ensure water equity and accountability for the people of the state. So if you could give us an update, what happened yesterday and where things go from here with LD 1474.
Yes. Thank you, Meredith. First, before I talk about 1474, I'd like to take a moment and celebrate that LD 1121, which determines water as a necessity, it passed unanimously in the committee, which was great. LD 1121 states, under the definitions of necessity in three different bodies of law, under health and welfare, under provisions for jails, and under commerce, that water is now deemed a necessity, just as, you know, food, shelter, and clothing, the basics that we need. So that will go for a vote to the House and the Senate and possibly pass. So that's where we're at with LD 1121. So yesterday during the work session, you know, they had lumped four different bills together, three of them having to do with public trust, and one of them having to do with water districts.
And meaning, when you say public trust, can you define what that means?
Well, that's interesting. A public trust, well, I can say that all of our surface water in the state right now, it falls under public trust, meaning, you know, the state takes responsibility and asserts, I hate the word ownership, but the state has authority over surface water, so they can't be privately owned. And groundwater does not have the same designation. And so two of the bills were trying to assert state either ownership or stewardship over it, and that's how LD 1378 and LD 413. That's the difference between those bills, is essentially ownership versus stewardship. Now, LD 1358, which asserted stewardship, there is no legal definition currently for stewardship, so that becomes a prohibitive factor in that moving forward. But it seems clear that industry in the state does not want to change the status of our groundwater and moving it into a public trust. You know, large extractive industries could see that as an impediment to their business model.
And indeed, all three of those bills that dealt with transferring groundwater into a public trust were voted unanimously not ought to pass by the Environmental and Natural Resources Committee.
Mm-hmm. Now, LD 197 was just to convene a working group that would authorize a public trust.
Uh-huh.
And it included a two-year moratorium, but during the hearing phase, the legislator that brought that forth stated that he was willing to cut that out of it. It stand less of a chance of passing with a two-year moratorium, again, because it, you know, threatens current groundwater extraction operations, particularly with Nestle and their exporting.
Before, I know we're about to get into LD 1474, but I just wanted to, I think that some of the representatives, including co-chair Representative Tucker, they brought up the belief that they had that the laws that are already on the books are protective enough of Maine's groundwater supply. And I believe, though, that did apply also to the bill that we're going to be talking about, LD 1474, an act to ensure water equity and accountability for the people of the state. But I'm not sure if this is the point where you might want to address. Representative Tucker had a whole list of laws that he felt were already in place to protect Maine's groundwater supply environmentally or from bulk water extraction. Do you have a response?
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, laws on the book to protect it, but in a state where we have regulatory capture in our state, it's really hard to see those protections being strong enough. It's a little more complicated than that because there are some laws that people feel like we're not adhering to. And there's a lot of reporting that's not being handled in a way that people feel good about. Just for the fact, even, you know, the DEP provided information about wells not going dry during the drought and that there's no connection between, or possibly potentially no connection between what Nestle's withdrawals are and the DEP, but there's other information that it appears that they don't have about wells going dry and potentially connecting that to Nestle's operations.
And Nestle denied there were any problems with that as well at the public hearing. But members of the committee actually asked you specifically for any information to bring to the working group about wells going dry or otherwise being impacted by Nestle's water extraction. But you weren't given the opportunity to present that information.
No.
Because they moved LD 1474 to another committee entirely.
That's right, yeah. So I had brought information that was requested of me to the work session, and that's when they just referred it to another committee. It's interesting because originally, before they assigned that bill to this committee, there were debates going on in caucus about where this should fall. I mean, clearly, because this deals with water districts and, you know, to consider impacts or externalities to water displacement out of a water cycle.
And sorry, so we're talking about, there was a question about whether to have it reviewed under the Environment and Natural Resources Committee or the Legislative Energy, Utilities, and Technology Committee. They went with the ENR, but now they're referring it back to Energy, Utilities, and Technology. And as you just said, and I talked over you, that's the committee that interfaces more with the Public Utilities Commission.
Right. That's right. So it is appropriate. It is the more appropriate committee in this case. So it's too bad that they're now referring it, because we won't get another public hearing. It's really great when you can interact with the committee directly. So I hope that they'll all take the time to read through the testimony, especially people in support, so they can hear what our concerns are more clearly, instead of only, you know, taking the narrative from the lawyers and lobbyists and industry that was heavily present in the room.
You are listening to Radioactive on WERU Community Radio. Today we're speaking with Nikki Sakara with Community Water Justice. Yesterday, the legislature's Environment and Natural Resources Committee made decisions on 5 water bills that could impact industrial water extraction in Maine. The committee voted unanimously ought to pass for LD 1121, an act to acknowledge potable water as a necessity. The committee voted unanimously ought not to pass for three bills that would have considered categorizing groundwater as a public trust: LD 1474, an act to ensure water equity and accountability for the people of the state, sponsored by Representative Hickman, has been moved out of the ENR committee and will now be considered by the Energy, Utilities, and Technology Committee at a future date. Nikki, can you remind us then what LD 1474, an act to ensure water equity and accountability for the people of the state, proposes to do? And again, just to review, the three other water bills dealing with transferring groundwater under public trust protection were unanimously voted against by the committee. LD 1121, an act to acknowledge potable water as a necessity, passed unanimously in the committee, now go to full legislature. There were five bills, and this fifth bill, if you're just joining us, is now just been referred for work session review at the Energy, Utilities, and Technology Committee. We're not sure when that will be yet, or how much debate will even happen during that work session, because sometimes it appears committees have really decided before they even come in and just go ahead with a vote, as we saw yesterday. So remind us again, LD 1474, what this proposes and why it's getting enormous pushback from industry, specifically Nestle Waters North America.
Yeah. So this bill would require water districts, before engaging into a contract with bulk water extractors and exporters, to assess any negative externalities that could happen in that community,
such as
on these water takings. So it could include potential wells going dry. So we have to determine that what they take isn't going to have a negative impact on our residential water users, but not only within the district, because now they have to also consider within the area of the aquifer, because the water district is typically a smaller footprint of a community than the actual town's boundaries, and certainly within the aquifer boundaries.
So that's what this...
Aquifers don't follow political boundaries of the town, so we have to be a little bit more practical about and looking at the impact area.
So that this bill would ask that the whole aquifer be considered, not just strictly within the
yes.
boundaries of the town and the particular water district that's benefiting financially from whatever water extractors might be setting up.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So it'd be looking at that. And we're also asking in it, too, any negative externalities, because we're also talking about the rates that they're charging as well. So having a negative impact on large water users that are, you know, using the system heavily of the water district. Mm-hmm. But like in Nestle's case in Freiburg, the more they pump, the less they pay. And there's a concern because a lot of water districts in the state are running at a loss and not being able to repair infrastructure. Some places have pipes that are, you know, 80 years old, or in some places in Freiburg, it was older. And these need to be maintained and upgraded periodically. And we risk other companies coming in and privatizing our water systems if we can't manage them properly as a public utility. So we need to make sure that the rates are fair and equitable as well.
Can you talk a little bit about what we know Nestle pays as far as those rates are concerned in the various communities across Maine?
Yeah. Well, for example, in Denmark, they pay nothing for the water they take. They don't go through a water utility there. They take it from their own pumping station.
On land they have purchased.
I'm sorry?
So,
on the land that they've purchased, that's correct. In the case of Freiburg, they pay like 0.1 cents per gallon. And that's prorated. So once they take over the minimum of like maybe 75 million gallons, they can take up to about 200 million gallons a year. So up to that point, then I forget what the charge is, but they pay actually a little bit less than that. And by state regulations currently, they should be paying at least, if not more, than a penny a gallon. So we're not even following our own guidelines for rates.
And why is that? And how is it that they're able to do that?
Nestle has a lot of power and pull, and they've had a lot of influence on the Maine Public Utilities Commission in the past. And so one can only guess, really. But
you were listening to Radioactive on WERU Community Radio. Today we're speaking with Nikki Sakara with Community Water Justice. Yesterday, the legislature's Environment and Natural Resources Committee made decisions on 5 water bills that could impact industrial water extraction in Maine. The committee voted unanimously ought to pass for LD 1121, an act to acknowledge potable water as a necessity. The committee voted unanimously ought not to pass for 3 bills that would have considered categorizing groundwater as a public trust: LD 1474, an act to ensure water equity and accountability for the people of the state, sponsored by Representative Hickman, has been moved out of the ENR committee and will now be considered by the Energy, Utilities, and Technology Committee at a future date. Can you remind us how many communities Poland Spring, Nestle, Waters North America is set up in currently in Maine? And we know that they have their eye on some other communities. Can you give us a lay of the land, remind us?
Well, in testimony, they said that they are extracting from 11 different communities right now. They have 11 different places where they pull water from. And, you know, one thing that we would like to know from them but haven't been able to get information is how many test wells they have currently in the state, because I think that would tell us an even more accurate story about where they might be considering, you know, putting in future sites as well.
It seems like, I mean, in this case, we're saying that it's not in the purview of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee, but there was just a lack of information on what the operations of Nestle is in the state. Do you feel that the state DEP itself has a handle on what those operations are and knowledge about its impacts?
The DEP, I mean, they're definitely legislated to have oversight over all the permits, so they might have an idea of where these all of these sites exist, and they don't see a concern right now with all of their operations. But you know, a lot of the data that they're receiving for the DEP is coming from Nestle, so I'd like to see more independent studies being done on these extraction sites and their impacts as well.
Nikki Sakara with Community Water Justice, anything you want to add specifically about LD 1474, an act to ensure water equity and accountability for the people of the state, as we look towards it coming before the Energy, Utilities, and Technology Committee at some point in the near future here for a work session?
Yeah, you know, as always, keep in touch with your state legislators and talk to them about the importance of putting in better protections at the local level for bulk water extractors. Even though it might not be in your community currently, have conversations about putting in local water ordinances that can protect you, because what we do know is once Nestle gets their foot in the door, it's really hard to change the terms of what they do. We need updated legal infrastructure surrounding it to effectively protect it. Look at your local community and look up what your current local water ordinance is, or even if you have one, and look at updating that to protect yourselves from bulk water extraction to the level that Nestle's taking it. So, you know, you can check out our website, communitywaterjustice.com. Send us questions. We're happy to support any community that wants to go through that process of writing a good ordinance. And maybe from the ground up, we can take care of this problem through other methods.
So, again, Nikki, if you could remind people concerning LD 1474, what the main points of the bill are that are of public concern right now.
Yes. Some of the things that LD 1474 could address for communities would be certain impacts related to the transport of bulk water, including the impacts that it has on our roadways. It would also help us determine potential impacts on groundwater levels in our communities and the recharge of our aquifers, to make sure that they'd be sufficient enough for domestic use and also for overall environmental health of our region. And then there's financial impacts, which include current rates that are being charged to extractors, and also to possibly address things like tax increment finance zones that are often come with their bottling operations, and how their contribution to the overall tax base is less through these TIF zones, and also through their business equipment tax rebates that they get. So that's less money that's going into the state when large extractors also are afforded. Those are the basic things that it would address.
And so again, this bill now will be before the Energy, Utilities, and Technology Committee. Are we expecting that the public can still give input, though that the public input was heard before the other committee? Is there an opportunity here?
Yeah, I think because they will not be having another hearing in that committee, is my understanding. They would be open to receiving more information at this point until they have the work session. There's been no date set yet for that work session, but we should know within possibly a week or so when that might be.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Nikki Sakara with Community Water Justice.
Thank you, Meredith.
Again, you're listening to Radioactive on WERU. Tomorrow, the legislature's Environment and Natural Resources Committee will hold their work session on solid waste reforms. We spoke earlier with solid waste activist Hillary Lister. We had you on the program a couple of weeks ago talking about a number of waste bills that the Environment and Natural Resources Committee is considering. Specifically, the one you were speaking to was LD 401, which would request the accurate tracking and record keeping of waste from its generation to final disposal point, including as landfill leachate discharged into main waterways. Specifically, we were looking at Juniper Ridge Landfill, which deposits into the Penobscot River. It would also walk back a 2011 state statute that allows out-of-state waste to be reclassified as in-state waste. It would also walk back the ability for the state to meet recycling goals by counting construction and demolition debris and other incinerated trash as landfill covering and waste biosolids as agricultural fertilizer. And it would strengthen protections for the health of those living in close proximity to waste disposal facilities. Now, at the time of the public hearing, there was a lot of interest in the bill by this committee, but there was also interest expressed by the main DEP, who is working on their own waste reforms, that there might be parts that they could combine with this bill, LD 401, in looking at some significant waste reform that it seemed like people in the state were feeling like then that some waste reform needed to happen. So, Hillary, tell us what the status of LD 401 is now. Has the state made any efforts to combine some of the initiatives?
So there's going to be a second bill that has not yet been published that would be a DEP bill addressing a lot of the issues around how waste is defined and tracked and what counts as recycling in the state of Maine. That bill hasn't come out. It hasn't been scheduled for a public hearing. So there's the work session on LD 401 tomorrow, which is the broad-reaching bill that you just described. The hope is that the committee does not just simply vote down that bill, which has been their habit with a lot of the more broad-reaching bills, but allows it to be considered with the DEP bill when that comes out. There has been a lot of pushback against two provisions in LD 401, from Casella Waste Systems and some of the companies that they contract directly with, specifically around the section of the bill that would clarify the definition of Maine-generated waste to not include imported waste that is then processed in Maine, as is currently the case, and that would also specify that materials that are disposed of in a landfill, even if they're used for daily cover, would not count towards the state's recycling goals. So Casella currently has a good, I think, 8 or 9 lobbyists directly employed representing Casella itself. And then the company that they work closely with, ReEnergy, which is a New York holdings company that purchased Casella's construction debris processing facility in Lewiston a couple years ago, has been contacting legislators, telling them that this change in the definition of Maine-generated waste and recycling would shut down their construction waste processing facility in Lewiston. ReEnergy has been a pretty active player in shaping a lot of this policy, and as I said, they purchased this construction debris processing facility from Casella. Their primary customer is Casella for the construction debris. Some of the construction debris is chipped up and sent to biomass energy burning facilities. 2 years ago, the state passed a $13 million bailout that primarily benefited ReEnergy. ReEnergy had argued that they needed that bill in order to keep their facilities open and that without this bailout, they were going to have to close down their operations in Ashland, Fort Fairfield, Livermore Falls, and Stratton. Even with that bailout, though, ReEnergy just announced that they're closing their Ashland facility in a month or so, and in November they shut down their Fort Fairfield facility. So they have a habit of using the threat of closing facilities to get legislation passed that will be profitable for them, but not necessarily following through on keeping the facilities open. It's pretty clear that central to their decision to purchase their Lewiston construction waste facility from Casella was the ability to sell construction waste fines to Casella for use on their dump and to be able to get recycling credits and have that count toward the state recycling goals. So they've said those were the two central forces in them deciding to purchase the facility, and that's what makes it profitable. So hopefully this can draw some attention to the fact that the state has set up a system like this and look long-term at how to potentially fix this problem that's been created.
Talk about what your hopes are then for these reforms you're proposing in the bill that would address some of the things that you just mentioned, including the reclassifying of out-of-state waste as in-state waste. How seriously do you expect the committee to take this, and do you anticipate that some of these will be addressed in the state DEP's proposed bill?
I expect the issues of the definition of main waste and recycling to be addressed in the DEP bill, though it sounds like DEP is already anticipating significant pushback from Casella and ReEnergy on that. There's definitely interest from individual committee members in really addressing this issue. However, whenever the threat of this is going to cause lost jobs is held over their heads, a lot of times they can be scared into just getting rid of the bill before really getting into the issues. So the real push now is to make sure that they keep this alive, keep looking at this issue. If it does get voted down, there are other avenues we can look at, including petition for rule change and just trying to draw some media attention to this. However, I'm hopeful that there's enough support for at least looking at also things like how the leachate is being tested and treated and discharged into the rivers from these landfills that will actually get addressed right now.
Hillary Lister will be following up with you after the work session, and we know what type of decisions may have been made, but what is your focus right now?
Right now it's on getting members of the Environment and Natural Resources Committee to support addressing this bill, to not vote down this bill. And that's going to be helpful if anyone can contact members of that committee, especially if you live in towns that they represent or if you live in a community where one of these waste operations is located, so they can hear from, you know, they initially heard from just regular people from around the state supporting this bill, but in the past several weeks since the hearing happened, they've been hearing consistently from industry and with a lot of these scare tactics, so it's important to help them realize that these issues can be addressed in a functional way and that that can be beneficial to the economy of the communities that where these facilities are located to, as well.
And again, since we just mentioned the state legislation, is it still a possibility if they vote ought to pass that they could still incorporate or combine the bills, the DEP bill and LD-401 at a future work session?
No, they would have to carry it over to the work session on the DEP bill at that point that's scheduled for a work session to combine the two.
And the public can listen to the work session tomorrow. Is that at 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock, yep.
You can go on to the Maine Legislature's website and tap into the audio for the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. Thanks again for joining us, Hillary Lister.
Thank you. That's legislature.maine.gov.
And you've been listening to Radioactive on WERU Community Radio. Today's program was produced with the Sunlight Media Collective. You can listen to archives of this and other locally produced public affairs programming at weru.org.